Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The executive director of the Ohio High School Athletic Association joins us, Mr. Doug Ute. Hi, Doug. How are you?
Hey, Doug.
Hi, Jeff. Doing good. Hi, Andy.
Always good to talk to you.
Appreciate you being with us. How cranked up are you? Here's a busy time of the year coming up for the OHSAA and all of your member institutions.
Oh, hey, it's what it's about. It's just great for our kids as we, have already started our spring tournaments. And here in the next few weeks, we've got a lot of things. I was just looking at my schedule. In a couple of weeks, I'll be in Akron. I'll go back for softball. I'll go back to Columbus for lacrosse and track. And then I'll go back to Akron for softball. And so the weather's has turned for us to the good. And we've had some very good games so far. So it's just a great time of year.
Yeah, we've been really lucky, especially with the softball weather, too. The last 2 weeks here, I'm watching some of these scores go through, and I'm like, man, they're getting to play all these games. That's awesome. All right, but it was big news this week because you had referendums up, and one big one passed, one big one didn't, the NIL stuff. And, Doug, as we talked before, I congratulate you for getting NIL even on a ballot to get someone to talk about it and try to get ahead of the curve. So NIL did not pass, but this just seems like the beginning of where at some point it will pass. Explain to us what's going on with NIL in high school.
Yeah, and you just said it. Let's get it out there so we can have some discussion. And our process is we go out through the state and six districts, and so we talk to ADs, principals, and superintendents. And throughout our meetings out there, we just had fantastic discussion about NIL. And I would say the one thing I think that worried and is on a lot of the plates of a lot of school administrators is it's just too early. We want to see how this shapes up, and we're not prepared for it yet at our school. And then the question is, how often is this even going to come up at the high school level? And so I think that that's the number one reason why the principals voted it down was that I heard just too early to see how this unfolds, not only at the college level, but nine other states have adopted an NIL policy throughout the country. And let's see what happens at those states, because I'm in communication with the executive directors in those states, and they've not seen a bump anyway since they put this in, but it's also new. So let's just see how this shapes up.
Doug Ute joining us, executive director of the OHSAA. Doug, is it something, is name, image, and likeness something that you think high schools should be afraid of? Or is it something they should attack with knowledge, and that's why the delay might be a really good thing?
Yeah, and that's a great point. It's a delay with knowledge because they're just so unsure. But do I think it's going to happen tomorrow? No, but do I think it's going to happen at some point in high school sports? Absolutely. And I really think that the area we'll see it happening in is the social media piece, that kids are involved with social media influencers and some things like that are just totally different than it was 5, 10, 15 years ago. And, so I do think that at some point it's coming to high school athletics, and we certainly want to be the one shaping the language and protecting the amateurism of high school sports as much as we can.
Yeah, what when you were hearing back from the schools about, why it didn't pass, did they give you any feedback on how it could pass? And some things that could be written into this or might make sense down the road. Things that you learn, basically, why are you smarter? One of those kind of situations.
Yeah, and I think that's our process moving forward is continue the discussion with our schools. So, the actual language of the NIL piece for us, we did not really hear any negative about. And so, I was happy to hear that maybe this is the right language to use, the right protection for the amateurism, but it's just the fact that they felt like it's too soon, and they don't feel like they're ready to handle this and the volume of it. And, you know, one might say, you know, how often is this going to happen in high school? So if you watch, you know, the college ranks, I think they're still – they've redefined themselves maybe three times in 9 months, I think. And so that's a big piece at the high school level for a school administrator is this – you know, we've heard this is going to add a lot of extra on to us, and I understand that question, but actually it's not going to add on because the school's not entering into the deal with them. You just had to disclose the deal to the school. And so you're not approving a contract or have to become a legal expert, but those were some of the concerns from a school standpoint that they were afraid of.
Doug Yu joining us. He's the executive director of the Ohio High School Athletic Association. What's the challenge, Doug, that you guys face maybe with new sports coming along? And let me throw out the sport of lacrosse. You know, it's become, you know, it started as kind of a little niche, and now it's becoming a really big deal in both men's and women for high school. How do you embrace a new sport, bring it along, and make it, you know, make it part of the OHSAA curriculum?
Especially with girls, and also with girls wrestling and boys volleyball coming in.
Yeah, and I think it is just lending that support and working with the coaches association to say how can we grow that, and what I liken these two sports to is what bowling was 15, 20 years ago to us. It was a new sport emerged on, and the association supported it, and bowling is, you know, the number of kids that are on involved in bowling has just increased so much over the past decade. And both boys and girls, and so when we work with girls wrestling and the boys wrestling coaches, I think the challenge we have for a lot of schools, and if you think about it, you know, I draw back to my administrative days as a school administrator, and think my wrestling room was used till 9 o'clock at night. Now we've got to find a practice area for two teams, and then of course behind that, if it's going to grow, you've got to get it down in the elementary grades. And so how many coaches are out there and the available space for it, those type of things are challenges for school. For us, it's just simply, and we were really excited. We announced this week that we're just adding a fourth mat to our state finals championships in wrestling. So our girls are going to wrestle in a shot right along with the boys. And so we're excited about that. And I think as the success of some of those kids at their school and some young lady gets her picture up in the commons area at a school as a state champion. And I think that success breeds success. And so I think you're going to see some of that, particularly in girls wrestling, and that will help it grow.
So they'll wrestle at the same time for the state championship, not like basketball where first one week it's the girls and the next boys. They'll wrestle simultaneous. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wow. That's really cool. I'm picturing you walking through your school saying, well, we got wrestlers in here till 9 o'clock. Was there any thought to maybe moving girls wrestling to the fall? And so that way you wouldn't be, although, I mean, you still need the same facilities, but maybe that would spread out the, I always think about that because of Michigan and Montana, because they were running girls basketball in different seasons. And sometimes that caused some problems. But I'm just wondering how often those questions come across your desk.
Well, there was no discussion about that. But when I think about something like that, you know, right now the burden of growing that program or starting that program seems to be on the wrestling coach. And I've had some wrestling coaches tell me, say, hey, I've had to decide what I'm going to do, the girls or boys. But I think because it's fallen on them in the past where they've had their assistant take the girls and participate in some girls things with the Girls Coaches Association. And so, right now, I don't think it would be fair to those wrestling coaches to say, hey, well, you're going to get two seasons now because it's already a long season to begin with. And so we were just logistically able to put the girls in with the boys at the same time and run things together from a logistics standpoint at the Schottenstein Center.
That's cool.
And so that just worked out perfect. And, I, you know, again, couldn't be – these girls are going to be wrestling in front of 10,000 people, 12,000 people and in the state finals. And so that's the kind of stage I think they deserve to be on.
Doug Yu joining us, executive director of the OHSAA, the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Let me take you back to the mid-70s. Golf was a spring sport. and it was moved to the fall. Now buy into my weather theory. Everything has shifted about 3 weeks weather-wise, Doug. It's tough to have high school baseball and softball sometimes in the spring because the weather just doesn't cooperate. This year's been really tough. Any thought of moving, and I don't know that this is a good idea, moving baseball, softball to the fall when falls seem to be lasting now well into deep October, you know, and schools are starting so early now in August. Is there any thought of that?
Well, actually, I've had some communication with a few coaches, not from the Coaches Association, just some coaches in Ohio that have brought that question up. And so, you know, you hit on two things, I think. The weather, you know, I always tell everybody, I think June, July, and August became July, August, September weather-wise.
Agreed.
And kids, you know, schools started classes earlier, mainly because of testing. Get as many days as you can before the state test, which gets them out the middle of May. And so, you know, that window's really been squeezed in the spring for kids that way. But then, you know, I think we can always discuss things like that, but you've got to really look and say, okay, what would that do to your baseball program and or your football program or your soccer program in the fall by moving baseball in there? And so, but we haven't really had any serious conversations, just a couple of informal things, but your point on the weather and getting out of school was spot on.
And I don't know how it works, you know, like with summer baseball and everything else, things would have to be adjusted completely, but it is weird, boy. It's been a difficult spring for kids who are playing softball and baseball and running track, of course.
I think it's made seeding in softball really interesting,
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I probably don't remember a spring like this for a long, long time. And it was a challenge for schools to get contests in, you know, because it seemed like it rained 10 days a week for crying out loud.
You're right. All right, I want to wrap it up with this too, because we talked about NIL didn't pass, but the transfer of schools from one district to another did pass. Can you explain to everybody what happened with that?
Yeah, I mean, we occasionally, not a lot, but have, you know, we have six districts in the state, and there are schools that lay on the borders of those districts that maybe their community works so you use the Columbus area. Maybe they work in Columbus, but they're in the Southwest district.
Right.
And they do business Columbus ways. And so their parents are finding it hard to get to games. And they play in leagues from that standpoint. And so we're just defining on we always want to try to keep a balance in our districts of each divisional amount of teams in each division. And so, it's time to take a peek at that. And because we've had a few schools request to transfer in just because of what I just said. They're doing business in this way, but they're headed the other way for their kids' games.
Gotcha. So I want to make sure. So the one rule that did pass, and maybe I asked you about the wrong rule there, that was the if a school doesn't have a sport, they can continue to go to their current school and then go to a neighboring. Did that pass?
No, that did not pass.
Oh, that did not pass. Okay.
By about 8 votes.
Okay. Wow.
And so that was the closest one we had. And so I apologize. I'm not
no, that's
sure
okay. I didn't ask the question
that.
First, so that's fine.
Yeah. So you know, and what happens, and think about this. So if you're in a very small school in Ohio and you have 3 kids that want to play football, and so you can't have a football program. And so this is what I'm hearing from some superintendents is that I'm going to lose those 3 kids that are going to open and roll into another district. And I'm not only going to lose them, I'm going to lose their brothers and sisters. And before long, it's 20 kids, and I only have 500 kids in my district.
Right.
And they're not the kids you want leaving your district and the families. And so, you know, we just looked, and you know, my experience as a superintendent in Newark was that Newark Catholic did not offer girls soccer. And so the girls that lived in Newark but went to Newark Catholic can come play on our soccer team at Newark.
Right.
And so this was just an attempt to say, you know, that seems to work. And it's all about giving kids opportunity. And it's difficult to field a football team at very small schools. And so you want to give those kids that opportunity. So that came about to say, okay, you can go from a private to a public, but public kids can't go from a public to a public and do that.
Are we worried? Doug, I'm sorry. Are we worried about the numbers in football?
Well, at some schools, very small schools, you know, are finding it more difficult to field a team. And what happens is that if you let's just say you're at a school with 500 or 600 students in it, in the whole district, and maybe you've got 40-45 kids in a class, something like that, and you know, you only have, you know, 8 kids that are coming out for football, and you're not getting the freshmen and sophomores out, because if they come out, they've got to play on Friday nights, and physically, you know, it's just not, you know, they're just, some of them are just find it very difficult to compete when you're 14 against an 18-year-old, and so those kids don't come out. It just keeps the program just keeps headed south. And so, yeah, we're very concerned about that. And I think we need to have a conversation about 7-man or 8-man football, you know, with our coaches association. I know our association was looking at that 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago at one time. And so it's probably time to have that discussion again.
Doug, a pleasure to have you with us today.
Awesome stuff. We love when you come on, Doug. Love it. Absolutely.
Hey,
love it.
I appreciate the opportunity to come on. Appreciate what you do to promote high school sports. So thank you for what you do.
Keep doing what you do too. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks. Yep. Have a good day.
Doug Uth, the executive director of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, right there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.